Dear ladies and gentlemen, good morning from Hamburg. This is Willem Werner speaking. Very welcome to our presentation for the first 9 months of the financial year 2017. I'm here with my colleague, Olaf Borkers, who is joining us from Paris today, and Patrick Kiss on my right here, our head of IR. Let me start with the operational business and the retail turnover on slide 2. We are pleased to report that the numbers look visibly improved after a strong third quarter, even though it's fair to mention that the third quarter 2016 was a rather weak quarter. Nevertheless, year-to-date, the like-for-like sales of our German tenants increased by 1%, and among the top performers in our German centers, and again on a like-for-like basis, electronics performed best with a plus of 6.3%, followed by services, plus 4%, and catering, plus 2.6%. These three segments did already rather well in the first half of the year. Shoes and leather goods also ended positive with plus near 0.9% after weak half-year results of minus 2.3%. And also fashion, our most important tenant group, representing 30% of our tenant sales, showed a plus of 0.7% after minus 1.5% after the first 6 months of this year. On the contrary, sports was minus 2.3% and general retail was minus 1.6%, showed lower sales, although they improved their results slightly compared to the last figures after the first half year. For your information, general retail, for example, includes bookstores, toys, household goods, and jewelry. Department stores improved slightly and ended with a minus 0.5% after minus 1.4% after 6 months. And finally, our food tenants still saw slight lower sales of minus 0.4% after minus 1.1% end of June this year. So all a better trend starting in the third quarter. Abroad, we could observe that our centers in Austria, Hungary, Poland, and especially in the Czech Republic showed a strong positive trend in retail sales. The like-for-like growth here was plus 5.4%, and in total, this results in a like-for-like growth of the tenant sales of the group of plus 1.8%. Looking at the total sales, we saw a solid change of 1.5% plus 1.5% in Germany and a change of plus 5.8% abroad, which sums up to a total change of 2.3% for the portfolio. And finally, our rent-to-sales ratio for Germany now stands at 8.9% after 9.1% at the end of the first half year. Customer frequencies in the first 9 months were also positive. We saw a plus of 0.9% for Germany and a plus of 2.1% for our international centers. So far, the operations. Let's start on page 3 with the P&L. Our results after 9 months look as expected. Revenues increased by 5.7% year-on-year, with a major effect coming from the acquisition of Olympia and Brno. Property operating and management costs were slightly higher than in the first 9 months of 2016, and grew in line with the expansion of the portfolio. They now stand at 16.6 million and are aligned with budget. The NOI increased by 6.1%. Other operating expenses were half a million lower than the previous year level. The decrease came mainly from lower due diligence costs in respect to acquisitions. In the prior year, we were intensively working on Olympia Center and the Starbucks Center. As a result, EBIT increased to 140.2 million, which corresponds to a plus of 6.7 million, and Olympia Brno contributed 9.1 million to that number. The finance cost of now 29.3 million was slightly lower, mainly due to the improved at equity result. The at equity result recognized in the net finance cost increased by 5.5 million, which was attributable in particular to the acquisition of the Starbucks Center on October 1st, 2016. The new center, without effects from measurement gains and losses, contributed 4 million in the first 9 months of 2017. In addition to this, the interest expenses for the other at equity accounted companies fell by 1.6 million as a result of favorable refinancing conditions which could be achieved in our negotiations with the banks. The interest expenses of the group companies increased in total slightly by 0.3 million. Here, lower interest costs due to loan repayments, improved interest rate conditions coming from refinancing, as well as an interim short-term interest rate for one loan, were set off by the newly added interest for the financing of the Olympia Center. Other financial income contributed 2.3 million to the financial result and resulted from the measurement gain on a swap. So all in all, EBT, excluding valuation, rose by 14.3% to now 111 million euro, in particular due to the new acquisitions and improved financing cost. The valuation result, including the portion coming from the net equities, consists of the investment cost of 4.2 million. This number is 2.8 million lower than in the first 9 months of 2016, but investment costs vary over time as they occur more cyclical. However, the investment costs are fully in line with our planning for this year. And finally, taxes amounted to 21.5 million and were 3.6 million higher compared to the first 9 months of 2016. However, the cash tax contained in such total tax amount was 4.1 million after 3.9 million in the first 9 months of last year. As a result, consolidated profit increased by 18.1% to 85.2 million euro. For our key figures, which you'll find on page 4, that means the following. FFO per share increased by 8% to 1.88 euro in the first 9 months, after 1.74 euro before. Earnings per share went up from 1.34 to 1.49, that is a plus of 11.2%, and on an EPRA basis, the undiluted EPS increased from 1.66 to 1.79, a plus of 7.8%. We'll find the detailed calculation of the FFO and the EPS on the following slides 5 and 6. Coming now to our balance sheet on page 7. The acquisition of the Olympia Center led to an increase of the total assets of the group by 443.7 million as at balance sheet date. This is mainly attributable to the investment properties, 3 plus 374 million, and furthermore, goodwill of 53.9 million was recognized, which results from the deferred tax liabilities, which had to be accounted for in the course of the acquisition of Olympia. However, such deferred tax liabilities will not be recognized in the P&L due to the intention to keep Olympia Center long-term in our portfolio. Disregarding the acquisition of the Olympia Center, the total assets grew in the first 9 months of 2017 by 5.3 million. This was mainly attributable to an increase in cash and cash equivalents. In order to finance the equity required for the acquisition of the Olympia Center, a cash capital increase was carried out in March by utilizing some of the authorized capital. The Deutsche Eurostock Group obtained 165 million from such capital increase. The financial liabilities of 1.65 billion were around 200 million higher than the level at the end of 2016, and this is due to the initial consolidation of the Olympia Center and the raising of a new long-term loan of 130 million, as well as the reduction of the usage of our credit line in the reporting period. Non-current deferred tax liabilities increased by 71.8 million euro to now 431.2, as mentioned before, mainly due to the acquisition of the Olympia Center, but also resulting from the regular tax depreciation. After the consolidation of the Olympia Center, the equity ratio is now at a strong 53.1%, and the LTV is now at 35.5%. Coming to our financings, we've outlined our loan structure on slide 8. There we'll see that the current average interest rate of our 1.65 billion consolidated financial debt decreased further to now 2.9%. The loans now have an interest duration of 5.3 years. And for the loans coming up for refinancing, we continue to get good indications at the currently low interest rate level. For your benefit, on page 9, you'll find a more detailed breakdown of the maturities of our loan portfolio. We have also listed the newly negotiated conditions for our latest refinancings. Just recently, we could fix a rate of 2.03% for a new 10-year maturity for our Galeria Baltica in Poland and Gdansk. Looking ahead, you'll see that we still have some potential to decrease our interest costs in the next years, assuming that the interest rates in general will stay on or around their historical low levels. As of today, we still expect that this will be the case. We'll now come to the bridges, and they start on page 10. For the first 9 months of 2017, revenues were at 161 million euro. Out of this, 10 million came from the Olympia Center. And a small hint here, SR Park Center is accounted for by the at-equity method. This effect is not visible here. The standing assets saw a slight decrease of 0.9% or 1.3 million, which was mainly due to some lower releasing conditions in the current market environment of stationary retail in Germany, and some, that is minus 1 million, and some lower penalty payments from tenants, that is roughly 300,000 less in comparison to last year's period. Financial result is presented on page 11, and starting from the left to right, interest expenses without Bruno improved by 1.5 million in comparison to the last year's period, and as said before, mainly due to improved interest rates, loan repayments, and a short-term interest agreement on one loan. And additional interest for Olympia was plus 1.7 million euro. The valuation gain of a non-efficient interest swap, taken out in conjunction with the financing of our Altmark Gallery in Dresden, contributed 500,000 to the improvement, and the minority profit share increased by 0.6% compared to last year's period. The equity results, excluding the contribution of the Sarpark Center, improved by 3.1 million, and the Sarpark Center itself contributed a further 3.8 billion to the equity result. Now let's proceed to the EBT bridge on the next page. EBT moved up in total by 16.5 million to now 106.6 million. The valuation result contributed 2.8 billion to that change, and the additional valuation gain of the non-efficient interest swaps accounted for another 900,000 euro. The Olympia Center, having the bulk of that, they added 7.4 million euro, and the Sarpark Center a further 3.7 million. The other changes contributed in total 1.7 million. And last but not least, you'll find the profit bridge on the next page. Profit after tax increased by 30 million to now 85.2 million. Here again, following the same explanation, valuation after tax contributed 2.1 million, the non-efficient interest was plus 0.7, Olympia 6.3, and the Sarpark Center 2.4 million. The remainder accounted for 1.5 million. These were the bridges for the first 9 months of this year. For the guidance, please follow me on slide 14. Our guidance for the financial year 2017 remains unchanged, as all of our major figures are so far in line, and on the basis of today's information, we can confirm our guidance for this year, where we forecast revenues between 216 and 220 million, an EBIT between 187 and 191 million, and EBT, excluding measurement gains and losses, between 145 and 148, and an FFO from 140 million to 143 million, or from €2.42 to €2.46 per share. In 2018, the acquisition of the Olympia Center will contribute to the consolidated revenue for a full year for the first time. So we expect the consolidated revenue should come out within a range of 220 to 224 million euro. And for 2018, we are expecting an EBIT in the range of 193 to 197 and an EBT excluding valuation between 154 and 157 million. The average time-weighted number of shares increased now to 61.8 million after the nearly full conversion of our convertible bond beginning of this month, and we expect an FFO between €2.35 to €2.39 per share in 2018. In absolute terms, FFO should rise by 3.5% to 145 to 148 million euro. So finally, a summary and a view ahead starting on page 15. The unchanged and confirmed guidance for 2017 and 2018 shows that our business model stands for stability. This also applies for our dividend forecast. As you know, we want to increase our dividend by 5 cents to €1.45 per share for the financial year 2017. We are furthermore working on an optimization and reduction of our financing costs with an interest rate of now 2.9% in our credit portfolio. We still see potential here. Earlier this month, we announced that our 100 million convertible bond has converted at a final rate of 99.5% into 3.78 additional shares. And the final conversion price was €29.45. As a result of the almost full conversion, we have now to pay 0.9 million less interest payment to our creditors this year, and the conversion will further improve our balance sheet strength going forward. To support the performance of our centers in the currently competitive stationary retail environment in Germany, an amount of around €45 million will be invested into our portfolio in the coming years with a specific purpose to improve the customer convenience, that is the service offer and the ambience in the center. This investment amount is based on 100% view for the centers, and such investments will be made in addition to the regular CapEx. We have prepared some more detailed slides coming soon at the end of the presentation. In October, we proudly announced that 20 of our 21 centers were awarded with the sustainability certificate from DGNB, the German Sustainable Building Council, and we received 7 platinum and 13 gold awards, which is a remarkable good result. This proves our long existing and continuing efforts to operate our business model in a sustainable way. We also target to get the Olympia Center certified too in due course. The investment market remains active with reported or presumed prices still on a high level. And we keep an eye on the current somewhat volatile sentiment in the shopping center segment and will evaluate it going forward. We are very selectively analyzing sales offers. If we were to pursue potential transactions, we currently would consider it only under the assumption that we would finance it completely with debt. However, we don't have any specific project on the table at that moment. On the following slides, we want to give you some details concerning our planned investments into our portfolio, which will lead to an even higher level of service and an upgraded ambience, both of which we think it is advisable and feasible in the light of the given competition and growing e-commerce. First, on page 16, we have summarized the success factor of a modern shopping center going forward. It's a combination, of course, and as before, of a top location and a strong tenant mix containing the big brands, but also fresh names and concepts. For example, we are very proud that the well-known international premium brand, such as Tesla, opened the first store in our portfolio in September in our shopping center, the Main-Taunus-Zentrum. On the other hand, it's important to get more diversity into the center, so we're also happy to introduce younger and new concepts, such as Snipes, Sistrine Grene or Stadium, related to concepts coming from Denmark. Additionally, more and more pure online players are now adding stationary shops to capture the full market and to offer a point of touch to the customers. An optimal tenant mix can only be achieved by a strong and experienced asset management. Here, our partner ECE is always in touch with the most innovative retailers coming to the market, and ECE also drives actively forward, e.g. the digitalization and the logistics function of the center, which is equally important. In addition to that, and as mentioned before, the convenience and ambience factor becomes much more important. In the current stationary retail transition phase to a multi-channel world, we, from a landlord point of view, focus also on the further improvements of such factors, which will lead to higher customer attraction and satisfaction. And here we have started investment programs called At Your Service, and also a program to refresh the ambience of certain malls. All such measures will be taken along the typical customer journey, which is sketched out on page 17. The illustration shows the elements how shopping centers can be made more attractive and convenient for our customers. Journey starts usually at home, continues to the center with more and better information, an entertaining shopping experience, and in-between nice points of relaxation. Afterwards, a smooth departure completes a joyful day in the shopping center. With EduService Service, if you go to page 18, we'll launch a program which will primarily, e.g., lead to comfortable seatings and lounge areas, improve customer zones like small retreats, family and sanitary areas, of course, information and other services, and as well, state-of-the-art kids play areas. Give you a better impression on the slides 19 to 22, we have assorted some design studies which are in the process of being introduced and which shows some of the elements of the new shopping center ambience. First examples of such measures will be implemented soon in our Allee Center in Magdeburg. Other centers are in preparation. As mentioned before, an amount of approximately 45 million will be invested into these specific upgrades. And this investment will be done mainly in the next 3 years and will be financed from our running FFO. On page 23, you see the expected FFO development on a per share basis and the designated usage of the FFO. Besides the planned dividend payments and expected principal repayments on loans, on average that is 23 to 25 million euro per annum, we expect an average amount of CapEx, and for the purpose of clarity, including the investments for the specific programs we've just introduced to you. So an average amount of CapEx of that in the amount of 25 to 30 million per annum for the next years, which also can be financed from the FFO going forward. So this summarizes my presentation. Thank you very much for listening, and I'm very happy to take your questions now.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. First question comes from the line of Thomas Neuhaus with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I have basically two questions. Firstly, Mr. Mellon, you mentioned that lower reletting rents were leading to the decline in revenues in the German assets. Can you please give us an indication what kind of tenants turnover you're currently facing on average in your shopping centers and how reletting rents compare on average to the in-place rents? And the second question would be on the planned shopping center beautification. Do you think this CapEx will only protect current cash flows, or you think the CapEx might also lead to higher cash flows in the future? And then if so, can you give us an indication on potential expected payback periods on and expected IRRs of this CapEx? That would be my questions. Thank you.
Yeah, so please correct me if I don't get the questions correctly, but I mean the average turnover is around 3,500 euro for the centers, but this could deviate up and down depending on the centers, whether it's an inner city.
I was referring to the tenants turnover. How many of the tenants are turning over each year on average?
Sorry. Okay. Even here, that's hard to say because centers are leased out cyclically. So whenever you have bought them, when they were freshly new, they're fully leased, and usually after 10 years they come up. So it's hard to say. We have a releasing profile in our old annual report, and we'll, of course, provide something new in the next annual report. But the exchange ratio is not that high. Yeah, so it's a lower single digit percentage at the moment.
Okay, yeah. and so, in terms of reletting rents development?
Yeah, I mean we have more than 2,700 contracts, so we gain on some and we lose on some, and on some we extend just going forward. So I think for the German centers having the 0.7% is the average out of that. So sometimes you have a bigger drop, but sometimes you have a nice increase in rents. So this is shifting from segment to segment, from tenant to tenant. There are more successful ones, there are less successful ones, which you can read in the newspaper. So you would have to go through, let's say, tenant by tenant, which we can do, and segment by segment. But I think as we are as transparent as we are, the 0.7% or 1 million in 9 months is the average. So the releasing effect on that. And with the CapEx, to be honest, this is more defensive CapEx what we do, and it's not a huge amount, by the way. However, that was important why we included the last slide. It's coming out the normal FFO, so it's being produced, that cash from the center, so it's not to be paid out of additional, or we don't need to take up additional debt for that or anything else. So it's really the depreciation that you reinvest to keep the rent at the moment on the level. So there's, for that amount just mentioned, no individual IRR. It's more defensive.
Okay, and a follow-up on the turnover question. I mean, if you look at the figures that you mentioned, that on average in Germany, the turnover was up 1% in the shopping center for your clients. And I think a big portion of your rents is related also to the turnover of your tenants. So is it fair to assume that on average the reletting rents are a couple of percentage points below the previous rents, because otherwise you would not end up losing slightly below 1% of your revenues on a like-for-like basis year on year if the tenant's turnover is below 10%?
No, I think this shortcut calculation would be probably a little misleading, because, I mean, in the past, our turnover rents accounted for 1 to 1.5%, and we expect this year the same. So it's if we would talk about the effect is the same for the base rents, and so we wouldn't expect dramatically higher turnover rents this year and lower base rents.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one at this time. Next question comes from the line of André Remke with Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Number of questions, starting also with the like-for-like rent growth. What are your expectations for the rest of the year and probably also for next year? What is the basic assumption for your guidance, so the midpoint of the guidance? So again, -1%, 1 to 2% on general or on average, and more general related question, some of the larger retail change we saw recently discussed in the press, like Zara or H&M, they mentioned to focus probably more on 3 years contract rather than on 5 or 10 years contract in the future. So again, the question, what is your expectation for upcoming pressure in the leading market for shopping centers? This is the first question, please.
Yeah. I mean, the development that we have seen in the German rents of now a little less than 1%, less this year, I mean, it was embedded already in the range of our guidance that we have given, and it's including such a number also next year as a potential. So not more, but it's a potential that it could be anything between 0 and 1% less also. So it's not a dramatic number, but, and we don't like to see it, of course. We would like to see higher rents, but the market is very competitive at the moment. But so in the guidance is roughly the same included what we have seen here in the actuals. Coming to H&M, Zara, and probably some other big players, but for Zara and H&M it was prominently in the news. Yes, of course, those are dominant big players, but on the other hand, they know that they want to be in the best spots. And I wouldn't say it's a muscle playing. It's a competitive business. But I wouldn't take all the conditions what you read in the newspaper as given for the landlords day one. But on the other hand, we have to admit that the negotiations take longer, they are harder. durations go down with anchors on average. So it's a tough market, but I wouldn't say what you read in the newspaper is the final outcome.
And this is mainly due to the strong position of VC center manager.
Yeah,
you are,
I mean,
less affected than other.
I can't talk for any other, but I mean, as it's in the news and some other operators are commenting on that, I think this is a general trend. We've said over the last two and a half years that I'm here that the bigger gets big and stronger. This is what we see and feel. But on the other hand, I mean, if you're convinced that you own good places, at the end they want to be there. And so you have to find a new balance and a new regulations and conditions. But on the other hand, you're absolutely right. We are well positioned with ECE, knowing what's in the market, what's to be accepted or what's possible. So yes, we are well positioned there.
And based on that, coming to the potential portfolio valuation at year end, of course, it will not provide us with a figure, but any indication would be helpful, especially when we see broker reports saying that no further yield compression during this year is one point. And the second point, what we discussed before, will appraise potentially factor in those uncertainties in this business with regard to lease length or potential reletting rents. So are there any fears that the valuation will not hold up?
Yeah, I mean, we do not guide our valuation as it's a very complicated task, and you rightly mentioned the major ingredients like rent developments and the yields for comparable assets. We now have to put a little more capex into that. I don't expect dramatic effects, but we can't guide on those. Yeah, I think our centers were valued fair last year. I'm really going forward also for the point of acquisition or something like that. We'll be interested to see how the yields are determined or assumed for those assets and other assets, because on the one hand, it's still an attractive asset class, and we see or hear from deals. On the other hand, we hear about the sentiment, but it's hard for us to give you any guidance what the overall outcome of that is. But I wouldn't expect any dramatic effect.
Yeah, okay. And last question, coming back to your CapEx program, is this, just for understanding, is this initiated and run by ECE? Is this a general program from their side across all their, I think, 200 or whatever centers across Europe, or is it dedicated for your center? Initiated by you, is a question.
No, I mean, if you have an asset manager who runs almost 200 shopping centers, he of course can much more efficiently come up with such program and introduce them. But of course, what we have done is that we really selectively went through center and center and discussed with them what's necessary in what center at what point in time to what volume, and then decided on those. But they do also those programs for other centers. For example, I look out of the window here in Hamburg, see the nice IZ, the Einkaufszentrum, a very big dominant player. And also there, they're doing quite a lot on the at your service side, so the service and convenience edge. So it's, and you read it elsewhere that, I mean, in shopping centers, it's advisable to adjust a bit to the bigger competition from e-commerce and other players. Yeah, so it's not made up for us, but we are part of that, and we selectively discuss each center if and where to do it.
Okay. And for 2018, you already provided guidance, I think, another five steps this year, next year. When I look at page 23, we now come to the state that given the CapEx program, there's not much left, cushion left. So should we expect for the years after 2018, probably given the CapEx program, more cautious dividend payout?
I wouldn't say so, but we can't comment on the guidance above the long-term guidance we give already, in comparison to others. This is really to give you the message that we do create enough FFO to run those CapEx programs that we have in mind now for the next years. And you see also that the CapEx for 2018 are marked with a footnote. CapEx are spent, it's cash, it could be more or less next year, but it's on average a very good estimate what is coming up for the next years. So it's affordable for us because FFO per share will increase over the next years through, that's at least a trend-wise, we should see a little more money coming out of lower refinancings. So you shouldn't be over-concerned, But CapEx is, you invest and spend CapEx in cash, of course, and it's also more cyclical, But this wouldn't be the major reason if we would adjust that. Given today's information and given the status we are planning on, And let me add one more point. I mean, in this FFO, you see a green portion. These are principal repayments on the loans. This tells us that we are still delivering year by year 25 million on average or 23 million on average. This is something, this is equivalent to the depreciation. If we weren't to deliver further, there would be even more cash available.
Okay. And the very last question, the 45 million, how many centers are affected by that?
Well, we are targeting here around 8 centers with different magnitude. The first one started already in 2017, becoming really effective in 2018. And the major bulk, as I mentioned before, 2018 and 2019.
Okay, perfect. That's from my side. Thank you.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone telephone. Next question comes from the line of Peter Papadakos of Green Street Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for the presentation and thank you for slide 23. It's unfortunate that a lot of your peers don't talk about this as much as they should. Coming back to what you just said on terms of it's the 8 centers that you're targeted CapEx programs. What would you say it would be the total reserve for your entire portfolio in terms of money that you would need to put aside for this defensive CapEx? Can you give us some sort of an indication?
No, we don't work around, or we don't think around that corner, put it that way. We really see and look in our mid and long-term planning what's necessary to best position the centers in the market. Those numbers we have prepared, we have given you the average number, and we see that as of today, they can be financed with a running FFO. We don't say what's the reserve if and when. So we do what's necessary, and this is more or less budgeted. And of course, an average number is a better estimate than a single year.
Okay. And then just to define that CapEx, if you were to provide some fit-out contribution costs to new retailers that are entering your centers, that wouldn't necessarily be in these numbers because this is sort of you would amortize that. That would be an accounting cost. Can you just elaborate a little bit of what you have included in that CapEx?
It depends on the magnitude that you would pay incentives or so. What the major bulk of the rest is really investments in infrastructure. The centers that we own are between 10 and 50 years old, and so the major bulk goes to the infrastructure. And then, of course, if you release a center after usually 10 years, you usually rebuild some areas. So you introduce food courts or you reshuffle whatever fountains in the middle of the mall, stuff like that. And, of course, you rebuild the leasing area itself, increasing the size or something like that, moving walls. So this is a major bulk of that.
Okay. And then final question just on this topic. With regards to, let's say, in Gdansk, with regards to the extension, of the money that you're spending there, what percentage of the money goes towards refurbishing the existing mall? or is it all relating to new GLA, let's say?
Yeah, I mean, in this CapEx is not included something like a new investment, which we would do. So the investment we are on a 100% basis in Gdansk is a multi-million investment because we increase one-third of the center. So this is new investments, and it's not included in that CapEx. Yeah, for Gdansk itself, it's only included in this refurbishment, or I wouldn't call it refurbishment, in this SU service program, if we really do the extension. And then in that point in time, because the center itself looks still brilliant, but if you build one-third of the center new, then you have probably a little funny feeling being just positioned just right between the new and the old part. So you would have to invest something, or we would invest something to make the atmosphere and the ambience feeling that you're not moving from a little bit older building to a new building. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
Your next question comes from line of Michal Tonchev of Kempen. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. Two questions for me. First of all, your fashion textiles segment did pretty okay this period. We've seen that across some of the other European peers as well at their results. Can you just let me know whether this is sort of a bit of a trend or is it a one-off strength? Are you basically seeing a little bit more optimism than what used to be a pretty dire situation? That's my first question. And my second question is, now you mentioned you're not close to any acquisitions at the moment, but if you were, could you let us know what market you might really be interested in and maybe how the competitive environment is and how that has changed over the last 6 months? Thank you.
Yeah, let me start with the question concerning the turnover development. There are various points. Yeah, we're happy to see these improved numbers, but I was also mentioning that we had a very weak quarter so in 2016. So we need to see those numbers in that light. But still, I mean, growing turnovers are what we want to see, what we need to see mid and long term to increase rents again. It's hard to judge because, I mean, more and more of the turnover is also then properly booked online, even though derived offline. I'll give you an example. I read this Economy spin-off capital markets paper, and it's interesting to see, so all those settings and medias, they now have investigated that 50% of all the sales that is being done online is originated offline. And then it's picked up, of those online sales, 42% are picked up offline again. So a shop, and in this turnover, you probably wouldn't see in any cash in a stationary shop of them. However, retailers need to understand the value of a shop being a point of touch, a point of pickup, a point of whatever advice and consultation and services. So this is also included in those numbers, so that they probably doesn't look that grim as they look here. Yeah. So on average, we're happy to see those developments, but we have to carefully watch them going forward. And I mean, the economy is doing fine, so you want to see those numbers rising again. And the M&A, I mean, talking about pressure on rents, especially in Germany, and rather stagnant turnovers, even though this year it looks a little better. We stay a little cautious with prices being still very high. Of course, if a very good quality center would come to the market, we look into it, but we would really have to evaluate how the rent situation is there. So we are a bit more reluctant here. In Eastern Europe, which belongs, some countries belong to our target list. I mean, I've just mentioned to you the numbers. We see turnover growth between 4% and 8% in the Czech Republic, for example, in our centers, which is a very good situation. So that would probably look a little bit from the number point of view more attractive, but we are not aggressively looking into M&A at the moment as we want to also feel a little bit whether really prices go up further or whether it's now the tipping point and they probably give in a little bit here or there. Yeah.
That's very clear. In terms of competition that you're seeing in the market?
For M&A?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I'll put it the other way. Usually you don't see the competition. You're just bidding and see how far you get. But what we hear from the market and the agents is that, yeah, the demand is calming down a little bit. So while you, if you had a good center before, there were probably tens of people or dozens of people were lining up or giving, handing in offers, it's probably more normalizing that you don't have a whole bunch of bidders, but probably a normal number of bidders looking at that. But this is what we hear from the market. Yeah. But I mean, what we hear and feel or being told is that pricing is still on a high level. Let's see what the valuation brings this year, whether it really has gone up on average.
Very clear. Thank you.
If you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. Your next question comes from the line of Thomas Effler with Oddo. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sirs. I just have a question regarding your new formats, like clients like Tesla. Can you give us an update there? How what kind of contracts you expect to sign in the next weeks, quarters? And how happy you are with the development there?
We kind of talk, of course, talk about individual tenants, but we are happy, for example, to get Tesla. But of course, Tesla is checking out how those shops, of course, work. But we shouldn't probably only talk about Teslas because we have different shopping centers, and they have the need of different, let's say, for example, Capri users. I mean, I wouldn't even know to which segment they would belong, so it's a new tenant there. But we have others in the LA Center in Hamm, for example. There will be a Citroën, Opel dealer coming in, and all those shops will look totally different than auto shops you have probably in mind when you go out of town to the streets where all the car sales department or car sales shops are. So we will see more of those car manufacturers trying to sell cars in a totally different way. We are talking with one or more two others, but of course there will not be plenty or hundreds of them. Yeah, they are niche player in a shopping center. Important, but a niche.
Okay, and how you define kind of the rents for these kind of shops? Is it similar to the typical retail stores or?
Yeah, typically in the old days it was that you calculated what kind of turnover you can derive and your percentages, which, as I mentioned before, is becoming a little bit old-fashioned because now the retailer and we need to figure out how much indirect turnover is being derived around a center. And if we talk to some, for example, fashion store or filialists, they have, of course, figured out by now whenever they have a shop in an area that their e-commerce or their online sales are much higher around that area. Why is it so? Because everybody, or especially women go out, or young girls or whatever, they shop, they look, they touch, then they go home, and now they have a mean to buy online. But they buy the trousers or the shirt that they have seen and touched before. Yeah, so this indirect connection is also very important, and it will be a nice experience to see how this develops going further. With a Tesla or a Citroën dealer, we wouldn't have any clue how much they are selling. They're probably not selling too much right away, but they use it more as a marketing space. So we would have an expectation what we want to earn with this space and what we could earn with another concept, and then we would just fix the rent and wouldn't probably don't have too much turnover linked portion of that.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions registered at this time. I would like to hand back to Mr. Wellner for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you very much. Happy to have you on the call. And wish you a good year and rally. And hear you then next time on the next call. Bye-bye.